The older ones of us here have experienced something that probably most of the younger ones have never experienced. And that's absolute darkness. I mean, you know, today we've got these outside security lights, and when you're in the house, your clocks have lighted dials on them, and every little gizmo's got a little light on it. But I can remember being in places where I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. Absolute darkness. And the Bible tells us that God stepped out into absolute darkness and said, "Light be," and suddenly there was light. This morning I want us to talk a little bit about light and Jesus, the light of the world. Now, of course, this is the time of the year everybody's putting up the Christmas lights. And you know, I ride by certain houses and I say, "Wow, that is absolutely gorgeous." I ride by some other houses and I say, "Tacky, tacky, tacky." But then I realize that, you know, the old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And that, while I'm riding by saying, "Tacky, tacky, tacky," whoever put that up is probably leaning out in the window and said, "Boy, isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful?" But we know what it is to put up the lights. Those of you that have flown, it's just spectacular to fly in or out of an airport at night. Now, to me, Miami, Florida area is the most gorgeous of any place I've ever flown in or out of. I mean, a lot of pretty places, but you know, just lights and lights and more lights. And if you're flying in and out of like Charlotte or like when we were living in Tulsa, you say, "Is that my street over there? Or is that the football stadium?" Or, you know, you try to pick out places because the lights are so great. But you also know that if you're flying at night and you're flying over the ocean, pitch dark. And then you see, there's a ship. Or if you're flying over a area like the Rocky Mountains, total darkness. And then right down there in some little valley, you see a light. And maybe over there in another valley, you see another one. And you know, I don't have any perception of how far, maybe 10 miles, maybe 50 miles, one light. Oh, here's another light, but that's all the light that you see. One little home, another little home. Well, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of darkness. Every time you flip on your TV or pick up your newspaper, you're wondering, where's the next shooting going to be? Where's the next molestation? Where's the next abduction? Where's the next murder? All around us, we live in darkness. And it goes back to whenever Satan deceived Adam and brought darkness into the world of God's light. And you realize this morning, there are millions and millions and millions of people around the world that are living in absolute spiritual darkness. They have no clue. You know, they may be worshiping a plant, or they may be worshiping something that somebody created. They may be worshiping a tree. They don't even know that there's a God out there. They hope that there's a God out there, but they're not even sure how they can reach this God, and they have no idea that this God loves them. They live in spiritual darkness. That's why there's hate and murder and robbery and all of those evils. Because men and women live in spiritual darkness. And it's all around us. It is all around us. And so, the good news that we have for the world is that there's light, and the light is Jesus. It was the light that was prophesied in Isaiah, the very same chapter that you were in, Isaiah 9. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isaiah prophesied, there's light coming. There's light coming. Later in Isaiah in chapter 60, he said something very, very profound. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come in thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He said, Isaiah prophesying, there's a light coming. And it's going to be not only for the Jews, but it's going to be also for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Light. Then in the spiritual darkness, in the lostness, in the separation from God, light is coming. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord also that it came true. If you turn over with me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And we find how first chapter. Beginning at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What does it mean to us that Jesus is the light of the world? It means that you can have a relationship with Heavenly Father, that your sins can be forgiven. Sometimes I don't think we really comprehend. If you were like I am, or like I, you know, I was saved at like 8 years old. So I hadn't murdered anybody, hadn't robbed any banks. And the only drugs I had was when Dr. McKenzie's nurse stuck a needle in my back end. You know, if you grew up like that, we don't understand the darkness in the person's life who never knew Jesus. Who grew up alienated from God. Who grew up not knowing God. Who had all kinds of what we call sin or evils in their lives. And to think that through the Lord Jesus Christ, he can come into that darkness and bring light and life to one whose soul was so dark. We just sometimes have a hard time comprehending it. That he so loved us that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. And folks, we who live on this side of the resurrection, do you know how blessed you are? You know how blessed you are. You won't think, you don't, we won't look there, but think about back in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel were slaves. God calls Moses and Aaron, he goes and he brings them out, and they gather at the foot of Mount Sinai. And the Lord tells Moses, you put a barrier or a barricade up here. He said, if the people come on the mountain, they're going to die. Because I'm going to come down tomorrow and talk to you. And all of a sudden, the people gather. And some people think it was a volcanic eruption. There's smoke and there's fire and the mountain trembling. Scared the living daylights out of them. Wouldn't it you? So much so that they backed up and said, Moses, you go talk to God and then you come tell us what he said. We don't want to get too close to all of this. We might die. Isn't it interesting? Moses goes and talks to God and he comes back and his face is shining so much that they have to put a veil over it. So much light. He had been in the presence of the light and there was so much light that it rubbed off and come upon Moses that he had to put a veil over his face because they couldn't look at him for the glory. Now that's the way it was in the Old Testament. You, because of the cross and the resurrection and the torn veil in the temple, as Hebrews says, you could come boldly into the throne of grace. Boldly into the throne of grace. And you don't have to worry about being killed for getting too close to God. You don't have to worry about being unaccepted or unacceptable. You're welcome in His presence. Isn't it wonderful what we have to know that they in the Old Testament, they couldn't get too close. And you get as close as you want. I was thinking this morning, if you were a good Catholic, you'd give most anything for a 15-minute audience with the Pope. That would be the highlight of your life, to have an audience with the Pope, if you were a good Catholic. Maybe even if you were a bad Catholic. But folks, you have the privilege of going to somebody that's greater than the Pope. You have the privilege of going before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the ages, and talking to Him. Do you notice there in John, he said, "We to those that believe, we have the power to become the sons of God." Now, we're servants of God. We're friends with God. But we're also sons and daughters of God as well. And it's wonderful, you know, sometimes we as children serve our parents. And it's great when we become friends with our parents and friends with our children. But there's that family relationship that is awesome. And because Jesus is the light of the world and He came into the dark world, you have a relationship with Him through His, your confession of faith and of salvation to Him. That you can go into His presence anytime, anywhere, and it's greater than an audience with the Pope. All you have to do is just bow your knees and say, I want to spend some time with You, Lord. Father, I want to spend some time with You. And He says, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Because He is the light of the world. All of these things happen. We have forgiveness and peace and blessing. We have the leadership of the Holy Spirit to direct our guide and guide us day by day. We have the wisdom through the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God that He gave to us years and years ago. He's the light of the world. We're sons of God. Now, go with me back over to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, and here's where we fit in. Not only do we have that awesome presence of the light of the world in us, Jesus, as He's teaching in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are the light of the world. You see, Moses went into the presence of God, and there was such a glory on his face that the people could see this man has been in the presence of God. And we are to be so in the presence of Jesus, the light of the world, that the glory of his presence should shine in our lives to other people. He said, don't hide your light. Don't put it under a bushel. Let it shine that men may see your life and bring glory to your Father in heaven. Now, how do we do that? It's a lot of ways. Not being able to forgive people when they really don't deserve forgiveness. Loving people. Ministering to people. Sharing our faith and our relationship with the Lord. One of the most special things that happens in our lives from time to time is somebody coming to us and saying, there's something different about you. Tell me what it is. I want what you have. You have a peace that I don't have. You have a joy that I don't have. You have a radiance that I don't have. I want what you have. Tell me how to get it. We can share Jesus with them, say, hey, I'm just a person just like you. You may go home and look at one of the lamps sitting on the table or somewhere in your house, and it may have a tear or two in the lampshade. It may have a dog nose print, or it may have a fingerprint or something. But the important thing is the light. And none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We've got some flaws. We've got some nose prints and thumb prints and some other things that are not perfect. But the important thing is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines through us and touches our world. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when somebody can look at your life or my life and say, I see Jesus in you. Now, it may be in your family or your job or your community, you may be like one light among many, like landing in Miami. Or it may be that in your family or your community or your job, you may be like that one little light that's down there in the valley in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. The only light for miles around, but still, let your light shine. Let your light shine. And how blessed we are to have family and friends whose light so shines and so glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks so close with the Lord. Where's the end of the first of this week or the end of last week? My wife got a text from one of our friends in Tulsa. She says, what's going on with you? She says, the Lord has had you strong on my heart for the last 3 weeks. Well, we can't think of anything spectacular that was going on. Nobody in our family died, and nobody was in the hospital, and nobody had a wreck. You know, it might be interesting when we get to heaven and say, Lord, did you get an angel to punch the rewind button of October or November of 2018 and see if maybe the devil had some kind of plot against us that Anita's prayers prevented? awesome to have friends like that. But it's also sad when the light doesn't shine. It's sad when the light doesn't shine. This week I was talking to a man. Now he and his wife are the kind of couple that when they get involved in the church, if the door's open, they're there. If there's a project going on, they're participating. If there's money to be given, they're going to give. If you talk to their pastor and mention them, he'd say, I'll take another 100 just like them. I was talking to this man this week, and he talked about visiting a certain pretty large church here in Stanley Baptist Association. And he said, you know, we walked in. Couple of people that we knew and had invited us spoke to us, and everybody else acted like, why are you here messing up our church? We don't want you here. Go away. So they went away and joined some of the church, joined another church. And like I said, their pastor would say, send me another 100 just like them. You see, they walked into a church where the light wasn't shining. The glory of the Lord was not expressed. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ was not made available. And that's sad. You know, you ride by one of these houses in the day and it looks like they've got about a 5,000 lights outside, and you think, boy, I'm going to come back tonight and see how that looks. And you come back tonight and it's not on. Well, they must be out of town. Come back tomorrow night and it's not on. The next night it's not on. The next night, think, what is the deal? She said, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Turn it on. Get your heart right with the Lord so that you can be at peace with Him. Come into His presence, because you have the opportunity to come into His presence that people of old did not have. And come into His presence in such a way that it brings His glory on you. And you touch the lives of people all around. Now, it's easy sometimes to be like those ancient Israelites. You go talk to the Lord for me. That was all right. But it wasn't the best. You don't need a priest. Rabbi, all you need is just to have your sins covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a child of God, and you are so welcome in His presence. And when you walk in the light, and the light radiates through you, you're going to affect the world around you. You say, but it's just me. If we turned out every light, blocked off every window so that it was pitch dark in here, a candle the size of my finger would shine in this place. Now, if you had one of those big, humongous candles, it'd shine even better. And if we each held a candle, it'd be a whole lot brighter. But one solitary candle lit by a fire would bring light in a dark place. Your life lit by the fire of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, can bring light to every place you go. Let's be light. Oh, praise the Lord that the light came. Praise the Lord that we get to be a part of it. And praise the Lord when people glorify our Father in heaven because they see Jesus in us. As we come to the invitation time, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If there are other decisions you need to make, we invite you to make those. If maybe you've been hiding your light, you need to come to the altar. Just you and the Lord work it out so that your light will shine better. Would you come as we sing?